large राजनीति पार्टी नॉलेज एंड राजनीति बहुत कॉम्प्लेक्स एंड इंटीग्रेटेड एंड यू नो इंग्लिश एंड इंग्लिश चैप्टर कंप्लीशन नो द नाइंथ चैप्टर इज क्रोनोलॉजिकली एज इट इज कंसेप्चुअली एट द हार्ट ऑफ द लैंग्वेज क्रोनोलॉजिकली इट हैज अ टाइम सीक्वेंस इट हैज अ नंबर ऑफ वर्ड्स दैट आर इंपॉर्टेंट Largely it comes to motives of the data. And conceptually, it is talking about this motive, which is the heart of the digital language. And the essence of this motive is most dramatically described in this merger. Most emotionally, you have to know what it is, emotionally only way it will be described. Later in the evening chapter. The Krishna calls the Arjuna to think later. Take this right. But here it is described in a very beautiful way. The view of the Bhagavad Gita is having three sections. The first section is of the Lord Karma, the last section is of the Lord Dhyana, the first is in the last chapter. And the next chapter talk about Bhagavad Gita. Talk about not about karma, but about how karma leads to mind. The last six chapters talk not just about jnana, but about how jnana leads to mind. Right in the first chapter itself, we see the elements of bhakti coming where Krishna Arjuna surrenders to Krishna. The first drop of bhakti comes from karma pulling on bhakti in 2.61. Further, if Krishna Bhakti comes next to 3.13, Krishna says, when Kalwani, Karmani, and Yansi, Amdhyasa, Chetka, Yama, Shiva, Mama, Yansi, Sada, Yansi, Sada, Mai, Kalwani, Karmani, offer all the things that you want. And then, from the first section, in the first six chapters, the most vivid description of bhakti comes in the first chapter. From verses 6 onwards till verse 14, then Krishna talks about how he descends to our numbers. population de l'humain, par exemple,
Chakshu Shiva,
Sai, between the eyes. unchangeable. So, why is it in the different purposes to the yogic mind?
On the eye-roller type of business?
The point is, fix it somewhere.
The point is not that something physical about the tip of the nose, something physical about the center of the eye.
No. Don't just mind my mind. Initially, it has an external object.
But we need to fix for it.
Sensation, gesture, local.
After describing the physical position,
Krishna goes to the inner action. Which action? Krishna does not. So transformation. So this consciousness is a transformation of matter. No.
You have only focus on that by something. How can consciousness be a product or a transformation of matter?
Here we are talking about changing now. I have to be the right thing in the world. So all over the world, but at our level of all our consciousness
is included. There's no consciousness left.
But
our fixed consciousness,
I think. So what I am your life is with my life. Although you are also a soul like me. That is because that consciousness projecting to matter is a matter condition is different. So when it says our chetana over here, which is Kshetra-sama, which is a transformation of matter. That consciousness is the chitta, not chitta. All of our chitta is the same, but our specific chitta is different. And Krishna says, this is chitta, Krishna says, what is it? So, Mother says, you have to man chitta, 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 think about planet, it's your consciousness. And it comes suddenly stuck into future reality like this. But at our stage, we start focusing on Krishna, Krishna's manifestation in the material world. The beauty, holiness, the scripture, the message, the devotees, the missions, so they're all spiritual sense objects.
How can this thing like an oxymoron? Oxymoron is a contradictory word.
Like this. At first, the courageous coward.
After they get courageous, and then coward. Now they get courageous coward. So if two contradictory words are brought together, then that is a figure of speech in English called as oxymoron. Now, for example, it says that suicide is an act of courageous coward. Why? Because your one life requires courage. There is courage involved in it. Like sometimes people decide to commit suicide and then they go in front of a day and lie down in front of a day. And as they have found out things are coming, I can't do it. So, it requires courage to give up one's body. But to give up one's body for a higher cause, like the service of nation or some sacrifice or something like that, that's glorious. But to give up one's life just because one is frustrated with the problems of life and why they don't use the problems of life. That is a way of transitioning from life itself. And that is called. The suicide is the act of courageous calling. So, these are oxymorons are sometimes used to illustrate deeper philosophical or deeper conceptual minds, convey deep concepts. So, like that. It is spiritual sense. Normally, with our senses, we cannot perceive spirituality. Isn't it? So, what does it mean, spiritual sense of? So, that is the glory of bhakti. The materialist thing that senses are all that is to be used. The purpose of dharma is also to provide a sense of. Dharma is for artha and then dharma. Their idea is, the whole purpose and perfection of life is to engage the senses of self. And they talk, as they say, glandhari, the part of jnana is that jivana is all the senses of bondage, there is no engagement of meditation. Buddha, in the most decision,
yeah, in our tradition also, in our tradition also, there is renunciation. But in
Buddhism,
because there is nothing positive, so the renunciation is farther.
So with Buddha, there is nothing of compilation, because it's related to the past. So the message of humility. But what he says in that is,
one suffering, he says there is more danger, it is very exclusive.
I am giving an example of demonization.
What it is more dangerous than putting your head in the mouth of a tiger is putting your genitals in the vagina of a woman.
Now, what is this?
What is the goal? That will only cause you to lose your life once, but this will cause you multiple lifetimes. So now, of course, that is also as Krishna says, Krishna is a demonizing. Dharma is a slow motivation, calm motivation. Krishna says that, actually, I am a satisfied with what you are doing. Because that is the way you like to manifest yourself. So, in the part of Buddhism, not exactly jnana, but it has similar pramana, projection of the world. So, some people romanticize the sense, or glamorize the sense, as a part of jnana. Some people similarly do the sense, the part of karma, glamorize the sense. The part of jnana, demonize the sense. But the part of bhakti, you glamorize the sense. We don't glamorize, we don't demonize. So, yes, the eyes, if they are attracted to the sense object, they can get in bondage. But the same eyes, if they are attracted to the feeling, they can help us to come out of bondage. So, Krishna himself manifests in this world as various spiritual sense objects. Spiritual sense objects. So, we are reading scriptures of holy name on this. We experience them right now through this. So, our tongue will chant. With our eyes we see the beauty. With our mouth, tongue, we get the facade. That's what we are looking for. So, what is Krishna doing? Krishna is offering us spiritual sense objects. So, Manjuttarasi, so at this stage, the Ashtanga Yogi turns outward towards the world. And at this stage, the yogi visualizes Krishna as Paramatma in the heart and tries to speak to him. And then Krishna says, as healthy advances, it is 6.30 and 31. I do not go into the details of that, because we have at least 6 lines after. The 6.28, Krishna talks about Brahman realization. And 6.29, Krishna talks about Paramatma realization. And then from 30, Krishna offers Bhagavan realization. Yoma, Pashyati, Sarvastra, Sarvamjavai, Pashyati, Sasyava, Anyakarishyam, Ujjaneya, Karishyati. And the feeling is that everything in nature is never lost. So initially, in 6.40, Krishna is telling that visualize me within the heart. And it lacks a component. But then, beyond visualization is realization. Visualization is, you try to conceptualize it now. But then realization, yes, it is not just about visualization. It's talking about one thing. Think of Krishna, 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 my lover, Lord, is there. And that is the name of the gopi.
Those among all yogis of Mudra, who inside their heart, feel this
your mom.
And then you set up on my town.
I just need your mom.
They worship me. The word that you say is the secret of the good. The word that you say is related with the meaning, the mind. You know, like we have Bhavi Katana. Bhavi separation. So now, Bhakti is a union that is rooted in separation. Our union that is rooted in division. There is oneness, impersonal union, where there is a union that is based on merging, that is based on dissolution of one identity. But Bhakti is a union that is based not on dissolution, but division. Actually, for Bhakti to be present, there has to be two. So Bhakti has a paradox. There is the oneness of Bhakti depends on the two-ness of Bhagavan and Bhakta. Unless there is Bhagavan and Bhakta, there cannot be the oneness of Bhakti. That's why the word Bhajite actually means there are two of them united in one. So Bhakti has both the combination. The division of two-ness and the union of oneness. So, those who come to this level are the highest. Now, from the first chapter, Krishna's instruction starts actually from the second chapter, 2.11. The focus primarily has been on rejecting the material. Rejecting material. That's why, that's okay, people call you on hundreds of things, two of the guys. Basically, the focus in the first chapter is on disconnection from the material. And of course, pointers are given for connection to the future. But from the second chapter, the rules of the world have changed. Now, Krishna has told by the gradual progression how one can move from Karma Yoga, Nishkam Karma Yoga, to Ashram Yoga, to Bhakti Yoga. Karma Yoga is from chapter 2 to chapter 5. In between, how the knowledge becomes increased and internalized in this world in chapter 4, which is Kandil knowledge, Yana Karma Kandil knowledge. And after that, Ashram Yoga, and perception Bhakti. But now, from 7th chapter onward, Krishna describes an alternative way to come to perception. So, Krishna said, the highest yogis are those who fix their mind. And 7.1 starts with, here about how you can become Mayana Samana. You can have the mind on the and that's what it is from the 7th chapter. So 7th chapter describes basically as it's called knowledge of the aspect. Now there is Krishna discussed about material energy, spiritual energy, how the people surrender to him, how the people don't surrender to him. What happens to them surrender to someone other than the enemy? So 10.14 is surrender. 10.15 talks about those who don't surrender. 10.16, 17, 18, 19 talk about those who surrender to the enemy. And then 7.20 to 24 talk about those who surrender to somebody else. 7.23 talk about those who surrender to demigod. 7.24 talk about those who surrender to impersonal God. And then this is chapter 10. In the 8th chapter, Krishna compares Ashram Yoga and Bhakti Yoga exclusively. No. And as some Gita commentators, they accuse the Prabhupada of misrepresenting the Bhagavad Gita. They say that, Prabhupada says that Krishna, Arjuna rejects the purpose of Ashram Yoga. That is, Janjanamimana Krishna, and I can't practice this. This comes in 6.3 and 34. So then they say that actually Krishna doesn't say Krishna. What does Krishna say? Practice. Asagam Shaya Mahabaho Manoja Sigram Chalam Abhyasena Kaunteya Vaidavya Chakrayate So Krishna said, yes, it's
difficult to control the mind, but by
practice,
abhyasa,
and by
diligence and detachment, abhyasa means determined consistent practice, and vairagya is detached. You need to control the mind. What does this mean? This means, like for example, chanting Hare Krishna. Abhyasa, we keep chanting, keep chanting, keep chanting. And detachment is what? Even if the mind goes here and there, we don't become disgusted. The mind will go as we will. We don't become too attached to getting immediate success. Nor do we become too attached to things which take us away from Krishna. So both kinds of attachment. So, by now, if you see Abhyasa and Vairagya, these are non-specific practices. Abhyasa and Vairagya can be done by Ashtanga Yogi, it can be done by Karma Yogi, it can be done by Bhakti Yogi. So, Krishna neither endorses nor rejects Ashtanga. This is a broad principle and new one. But the 8th chapter, in 8.14, is the only place in the Bhagavad Gita where Krishna says that this process is finished. So Arjuna has told in 6.32 and 6.33 and 34 that actually Pushkaram, Chinchalam Manam Krishna Samadhi Bhagavatam Bhaktyaham Vigraham Manye Vayomiva Pushkaram, extremely difficult. So here Krishna answers that in 8.14 and he says the word Anandjeta Tadadam Yomam Sarvindishan Bhaktyaham Pulala Parakaram Sittan Sattayogitam Bhaktyaham Sulala Parakaram. Look at me, I can be easily obeyed. This is Krishna's response. What Krishna says, okay, keep practicing of Vyasa, keep Vyasa. Don't give up the cause of mind control. How specifically do you mind control? That Krishna has pointed out such no, I'll take the process from the 1.1, Bhakti Yoga. And it's specified. 8.1 is just so in general, Srila Prabhupada anticipates and preempts Krishna in his purpose. That means what? What Krishna is going to tell later in the Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada tells us. Why is that? Because Prabhupada is impatiently compassionate. Prabhupada knows that Krishna is all of us are impatient and many people will not read the full Bhagavad Gita.
So, even if you
read the Bhagavad Gita, you see how bhakti is the resolution. But, if people don't read the Bhagavad Gita, then whichever purport you read, Prabhupada has been bhakti.
So, Prabhupada is not contradicting or countering the words of Krishna. Prabhupada is fulfilling the purpose of Krishna. Or Krishna is at the end, Prabhupada is the Lord. So, the 8th chapter, first Krishna compares Ashtanga Yoga and Yama Yoga. And then later, Krishna compares many other paths. There is a path of Pitra Yama and there is a path of Devi Yama, which is talked about in the Rig Veda. So, Krishna talks about those paths. And then he says, so the end of the 8th chapter, don't worry about it. Then he says, Sripas, Vajana, Yogi, Yoyasi, Kashchana, Tasman, Sarvesh, Kavleshu, Yoga, Yoga, Arjuna. So don't bother whether you will die at the right time or not, whether you will be the Shukla Paksha or the Krishna Paksha, whether it will be Bhakti Shukla Mahavishu. So just fix your mind on me, I will take care of you. And then, at the end of the 8th chapter, Krishna has just verified Bhakti. And just practice Bhakti and by Bhakti you will get whatever other this path will provide you and more. And then in many of the chapters of the Gita, there is, at the start of the next chapter or at the end of the previous chapter, there is a question that begins the relationship. But, so for example, at the end of the 7th chapter, Krishna is in some terms, and at the start of the 8th chapter, Arjuna asks, what are those terms? So, Kim Tadram, Kim Adhyam, Kim Karam, and the Vishnu, some of that 8.1. But here, as Krishna is starting to speak about bhakti, his heart becomes ecstatic. And because of that, he starts speaking so clearly. And that's why without any prompting, without any question, Krishna starts speaking. And I just said, first he was glorifying the knowledge of him. And after that, he starts speaking about material energy and how he is controlled, and how he is controlled. And the third and the seventh and the ninth chapters are similar. Because both focus on Krishna and how different kinds of people relate to him in different ways. So, just like 9, 7, 15 and 16 had two extremes first. Those who don't surrender to Krishna and those who don't surrender to him. And then after that, what is between those who surrender to demigods or those who surrender to the impersonal Brahman? That was in between. So, like that, the same trajectory is repeated in the 9th chapter, but in greater depth. So first, in 9.11 and 12, Krishna talks about those who completely misunderstand. Avajana, Sima, Mola, and Mokasha, Mangra, Karmano. Those who misunderstand me, all their efforts become futile. That is one extreme. Those who don't surrender. Then Krishna goes to the other list. And there is no one surrender to me alone. And that's what other words that we are doing. So, first Mahatma, Nishtama, Bhakta, then Mahatma. I'll come back to this, but I'll just describe the trajectory of those chapters. And after this, in 9.15, Krishna talks about people who are in between. So, 9.11 is those who defy him. 9.34 is those who surrender to him. With pure intention. And in between the people are there. So now this 9.15 is a very important word for understanding the flow. So ekatrina, what Krishna is talking about here, that oneness will be elaborated in the religion. Vishvatom kham, how Krishna manifests in matter. That will be elaborated in 10th and 11th chapter. Vibhuti Yoga and Vishwarupa Darshan. And Prithaswenvandha, that so how Krishna, like one absolute truth manifests in the various yoga. And how people worship the yoga, that is elaborated in the rest of the chapter. So, 9.15 onwards are 9.16, then 9.24. Basically, it's a very beautiful comparison of the demigod worship and purity. And Krishna gives four reasons. Four ways in which his worship is superior. First, he says, only by man worship results in eternal. But I think, famous word, Yoga Vishimam Mahasana, 9.21. Where 9.21 says, Tetam Bhutvata Dalokam Vishime, Pundeva Dalokam Vishime. He will come back to it. So, by my worship, you get eternal. Then, next he says, my worship is so simple. Simplicity in terms of Satyam, Pushtam, Phalam, Dhoyam. So it gives eternal results, but it's very simple. It gives all the fruit and flower. And there is much of all bhakti. Somebody says, you know, having bhakti is not simple. What should I do there? It says, okay. It is offer it to me. Yes, Karam, Shira, Shnanti, Yes, Chumam, Shira, Dhasi, Yes, Tapasuti, Kaundeyam, Tatsum, Shuma, Dhasanam. Whatever you are doing is offering. So, even if you don't have devotion, still you can offer to Krishna with the intention for devotion. So I don't have devotion, but I want devotion. So I offer, I do the service. whatever we let go of share responsibility. Whatever you know, whatever you do directly, whatever you eat opposite. That means Krishna is here accommodating our inclination, our desire, our karma inclination. Okay, simple. You know, okay, you like to play music, play music. You like whatever that you do it, do it for me. So simplicity in terms of the paraphernalia of worship, simplicity in terms of the way we can worship. And after that, Krishna talks about another thing, he says that the potency of bhakti in transcending is in overcoming occasional things.
If you do the God worship, if one thing goes wrong, you know what can be done. Very wrong with that. Indra Shastraho.
The small change, and there was Mahavinash.
Indra was supposed to be killed. And instead of Indra being killed, Indra became the killer.
You change can happen.
What am I talking about? Putra, all of you know the story, isn't it?
So, the Krishna says that in my worship, even if you commit sinful activity, just keep that in mind. Krishna says over there, that even if you commit sinful activity, appreciation to the Acharya, that is the law of activity, you should keep worshipping.
Eternal result?
Then simple to practice in terms of parasympathetic, in terms of activity. Then it overcomes any accidental fault, and then it overcomes even in terms of
loopers or other disqualifications.
That means, in our terms, what would it mean? In our terms, it would be a good practice of bhakti, and we have to fall down or we do something sinful. So just keep practicing bhakti, and by force of bhakti, it will be overcome. And with respect to papa yona, how it gets translated, we find that we may not have some material qualification. We may not have any good communication skills. We may not have criminal ability. We may not have managerial ability.
Whatever.
Now, certain material disqualifications may make it difficult for us to do certain forms of service. But service comes in many different forms. And we can find a form of service that we can do. So, bhakti itself is never denied. That's the form of bhakti, they may not be suited for that reason. So, Krishna's acknowledges that. No, it is not that Priya, they have a particular body which is not suited for the women's creation. So women may not be sannyas. But women are not desired for the practice of bhakti. So if we have this mental reputation, we should not be this. Krishna is very desired for us. And even with that. So here Krishna is proud and manifest. Now, Krishna, let's go back to our two words, which are Krishna, and tell us what Krishna is doing. Here, Krishna is giving in brief how we surrender. If we understand that he is supreme, if we understand 9 points as Mayas, as Krishna, as Krishna is the controller of everything, then what should we do? So, what Krishna talks about in 9.13 and 14, he reiterates in 9.34. I remember that. So, 9.13, he says, he talks first about the internal conception. And 9.14 talks about the external action. So what is the internal conception? Of these people who surrender to him, Mahatmas, Mahabharas, that is their Mahatmas. And they will intrakritima ashtaha. They have taken shelter of the divine nature. And what will the Achyasana do? And then they are so without any distraction, they know that I am the source of everything, Bhutadi, and I am always. And there is no entity, there is no diminution. Which means they understand Krishna is the supreme reality. In terms of they understand that Krishna is not yours and yours. Krishna is the embodiment and the perfection of all my heart to God. Whatever happens that you get from anything, I'll get it all perfectly from Krishna. That's why, Anasya Madhaso Samayi Kutu Kuni. And here, there is a little bit of converse, right? Prasadina Ashtaha, taking shelter of my divine nature. That can explain that it refers to Krishna Madhaka. She was angry. Now, what Ashtaha explains, and the whole Bhagavad Gita is spoken by Krishna to glorify Radha. Oh, this seems to be very outrageous claim. Why? Because the word Radha doesn't come anywhere in the Bhagavad Gita. And even in Prabhupada's commentary in the Bhagavad Gita, the word Radha comes only twice. In the introduction, Tapta Kanchena Gaurangi Radhe Radha.
So, in the Sanskrit and in the translation. So, then how can the whole Bhagavad Gita be a glorification of Smriti Radhana?
Actually, we should not think of Radharani just as a person. Yes, she is a person, but she is also the manifestation of Bhakti. So, Sarva Gopinma Jesvesta Shudhadhara Kurani. Sarva Gopinma Jesvesta, all of which is the highest. Radha, and it is right. Ladini Karaya Krishna Ananda Swadha. Ladini Dwara Krishna Dare Vakte Aposha. this Lalin Chastis Radhara, and what does she do? Just two things. Lalin Kare Krishna Ananda Swadhan. Lalin gives happiness to Krishna. And Lalin also wants to say, Namaste, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. So, when we try to enter the devotion survey, our devotion survey, because we don't have much devotion, it may not be Krishna. But when we offer our devotion to Radharani, because Radharani knows she is Krishna is complete. And Radharani, she gives the full satisfaction, which is our nourishment. She gives it. So that she is a transcendental mediatrix. You know, medium is a masculine gender. And mediatrix is a feminine gender. So one who comes in between, she is a transcendental mediatrix. And so whole Bhagavad Gita it contains the glories of Krishna, no doubt. My husband, I'm Yatra, talking about Krishna's glory. But the further glory Krishna speaks of glory is to ultimately glorify. Such a great Lord becomes attained and conquered by us. And in this way, Krishna is not interested in all the glorification, he is interested in glorification. And who is Bhakti? So in this way, the Bhagavad Gita is a glorification. The glorification of for pure devotion that conquers even the absolute. Krishna is the God. Krishna is the Supreme who renounces his supremacy so that love can reign supreme. Krishna is the Supreme, but Vrindavan, he renounces the supremacy. So Vishwamitra is dying here. The Gopis chastise me. And he runs away in fear sometimes. He renounces the supremacy. For that, love can be. How is reality? So the world is not Krishna. It is love for Krishna. When Krishna becomes the God in the world, listen, we enter into this world by telling the Krishna Krishna, by the Shantra of the Devani Maharaj. The more we get the Shantra of Devani Maharaj in Radharani, the more it becomes fixed. So, 9.13 talks about our internal conception. Then 9.14 talks about the external action. What does he want to do? That the tongue heals again, the Oman. Constantly doing heals. And the significance, the next line is what we want to do. Yatandashya, endeavor out, Sudhasrakaha, with determination. Now, normally we say that when there are many material desires, then we need determination. Because this is like rational, it is like rational, I need determination to say this condition. But 9.13 is already said that devotees are ananya manasa. Their mind is fixed on Krishna. Then why do they need Dudasatar? If they don't have the distractions, then why do they need Dudasatar? Because the nature of love is to offer one's best to one's best. And that to offer the best, one exercises one's best. It's interesting that in the spiritual world, the Kalpataru, it can provide whatever one desires. But in practically no pastime, we see the Vrajavasi is asking the Kalpataru for anything. Now, when Yashodama has to cook for Krishna, she's delighted at cooking for Krishna. They're like, oh, this is such hard work. Kalpataru can provide Krishna dinner. She doesn't do that. It is that the Radharani, when she's cooking for Krishna at Pavan Sarovar, she cooks simultaneously on 50 towels. Coming here, reading there, and she's there. Anxiety. And that anxiety takes ecstasy. Because she is offering her heart to one of the Krishna. So, here is the pure devotee, the connection to the Vrindavan, the endeavor and determination for what? So that they can offer their best to Krishna. And they don't have any distractions. But they want to offer all their good to Krishna. And if the pure devotee comes in this world, then the whole creates obstacles.
We see, you know, the condition of Prabhupada from study and fallen and next night, he preached to the fed all over the world. And it's true. But you know, we shouldn't let the point of empowered man remind the point of Shri Prabhupada's determination. It is not that when we say Prabhupada is empowered, that means that the automatically all obstacles disappeared and everything was removed. Empowerment is not the absence of obstacles. Empowerment is persistence amidst obstacles. Empowerment is not what? Absence of obstacles. Sometimes we have old Rama and Mahabharata, there are two enemies are there, Ishtaro. And one arrow comes from here, one arrow comes from here. Both arrows come right here. And then go away stronger, and puts the arrows to the other arrow follows. And the arrow moves. So like that, you know, it is not that when the Prabhupada is preaching, there's no obstacle, the arrow is going off something. No. Prabhupada's determination is like an arrow. Just move on. There are obstacles. It's not the absence of obstacles, but for the Christian amidst. So what happens is when obstacles give, in the face of the power of Shri Prabhupada's determination, the obstacles fail. But in our case, when obstacles come, in the face of the power of obstacles, our determination falls. But if you remember how Krishna loves his child, I'm simply taking the information. To us the rule, to endeavor wholeheartedly. And what do we endeavor? Namaskar, Tachchama, Amartya, we offer obedience to devotion and we think that the path of the day within Krishna is in the world. This is the process of bhakti. Bhakti is not just about disconnection from the world.
There is some amount of limited to direct devotional activity.
There is disconnection from the chanting, we are hearing. That is disconnection. But then, the purpose of bhakti is not just disconnection from the world. The disconnection from the world is for connection with Krishna. And after the connection with Krishna, then there is greater contribution to the world. So it's not that we become disconnected from Krishna and that's how we see. We chant, we study scriptures, and what do we do after that? We act in the contribution of this world. We act. This world is a huge book to contribute in Krishna. And in fact, the more we are connected with Krishna, the greater our connection with Krishna, the greater will be our contribution to God. Why? Because that inner connection with Krishna will remove internal friction and distraction. I will go to this point. In our lives, we often feel that I don't have enough time. So many things to do. It's not just devotee, but many people feel I don't have time. Everyone feels they don't have time. So much. It's pure. So what do we do? We can't expand the time limit for us. But we can become more efficient. And often a lot of our energy goes off internally. Internally goes off in two ways. Distraction and friction. Distraction means I want to do one thing, but some other thought is coming, some other thought is coming. Some other then distraction. Friction means inside only there are two ways. Should I do this or should I do that? So I am getting my chanting or I'm getting relationship. Or I am students even studying. So distraction, if you want to do one thing, but other things come into mind. Friction means the others don't know what to do. So the others are torn between two things. But what happens when we connect with Krishna through our emotional activity, then that connection will keep around the country, you know, not some Krishna's intelligence. The important is not important. The thing is that first, which is after. And that intelligence, then we get this active energy, and that we can do our contribution. In this way, bhakti, when there is, for a devotee, both the internal connection and the outer contribution, both become, so it's a common, both
bring the connection with Krishna, and this is the source of all joy.
So when they remember Krishna,
it's actually joy.
But
when there's external contribution also, there is another way of connection with Krishna.
Why?
Because they understand they are connecting Krishna's energy with Krishna.
So, you know, we have devotional service. So in our devotion, we connect our heart with Krishna. In our service, we connect the world with Krishna. In this way, bhakti harmonizes the internal and the external with the mind. Bhakti harmonizes the internal, the heart, through devotion, and the external, then the soul of the world, with the transcendental.
It's the beauty and the glory of
Samadhi. We started by talking about this verse 9.34, the internal conception and the external action of the devotee. And then we went over from the first chapter to the ninth chapter, discussing how Krishna develops the concept of bhakti. 3.61, 3.30, then Shri 4.9, I didn't discuss about 4.35 also Krishna talks, but then we discussed in 5.29, and then in the special chapter we discussed how Krishna develops. First has the focus of, and then going for it, it's the mind. First, there is 6.14 talks of visualization, and 6.30 talks about realization. And then 6.47, we talk about perfection, we continue that in 7.1. And then that bhakti, sulabha, is 8.14. And 9 chapter we did a forward realization. We discussed about people who surrender, don't surrender, and tell them something else. And discuss about 9.45, describe the meaning of 9, 10, 11, and 12 chapters. And discuss the four glories of bhakti. It is eternal, it is simple, it overpowers accidental fault, it overpowers internal fault. And then discuss about how the whole Bhagavad Gita is the glorification of Shrimati Radharani. And then lastly, discuss about endeavoring to get illumination. Empowerment is not absolute obstacle, but persistent amount of and the bhakti reduces the persistence how? By our inner connection, then we can sustain. And with the inner connection, then we can do outer contribution. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Srila Prabhupada Ki Gaurya Bhakta Vrita Ki Gaurya Prima. So I know there are several questions. I'll answer these questions on my website, sushimsandham.com. And maybe the next step of our next time, if you visit the website, you'll answer them. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.